For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Living fully, mindfully. We meditate so we can live more fully. Because to live fully, we have to be mindful. So I'd like to start today by just exploring some definitions of mindfulness. Roger Moore says, mindfulness is the ability to know what is happening in your head at any given moment without getting carried away by it. Mindfulness is the ability to acknowledge your thoughts and your emotions and respond wisely rather than acting blindly. And a new definition from Jon Kabat-Zinn is, mindfulness is the gateway into the full dimensionality of being human and being alive. And Dan Harris of the 10% Happier app says, mindfulness is a skill generated most commonly through meditation, where you learn to see what's happening in your head right now clearly so that you don't get yanked around by it. I really like that definition, that you don't get yanked around by it, because I've been yanked around by the thoughts in my head a lot of my life. So I see mindfulness as a state where we're aware, but we're accepting and non-judgmental of what's happening right now. We're not saying this shouldn't be here. We're saying, okay, it's here. I might not like it, but it is. It's about noticing when your mind has wandered and bringing it back to what's right in front of you. So mindfulness starts with being aware of the present moment. So where are your thoughts right now? Are you thinking about what you didn't get done this morning? Or maybe about what you got to do this afternoon? Or maybe what somebody said to you 3 days ago. But paying attention to where your mind is and where your thoughts are right now, that's what mindfulness is all about. And then those thoughts often instigate feelings. And so if we're aware of the thought, we can turn the thought off, because if we let the thought keep rolling around and around, it keeps the feeling there and gets the feeling stronger and stronger. So what are you feeling? And typically when I say what are you feeling, you're probably thinking about emotions. But I don't notice what I'm feeling until I feel it in my body. So I pay more attention to the sensations in my body. And then they tell me what it is I'm feeling. And it may be because I had 60 years of brushing anything negative under the carpet that I just don't recognize it. But for me to understand when I'm lost in thought and when I'm in a negative mind state, I really have to pay attention to my body and feel the contraction in my body, or the tightness or the heaviness or the lightness. So that I am pretty able to recognize positive emotions. It's the negative ones that I need my body to help let me know that that's really what's going on. So when I feel the heaviness, then I know that I don't want to talk and I don't want to act, because I know for sure I'll say something that will not be quite so skillful and I will probably regret it. So I use my body to give me that signal, because nobody can be present and aware of what's happening 24/7. I mean, even meditation teachers of mine who've been meditating for 40 years cannot be mindful 24/7. That's just not a possibility. But we can begin again in each moment when we find that we're not mindful, when we find our mind is wandering. We can choose to begin again and become aware. You can remember that no matter how spacey, forgetful, impulsive, or reactive that you've been, you can always start again. And by starting again, we won't miss the present moment. Because if we're worrying about the future, there's nothing we can do about the future except live in the present moment in a better way. It's the only moment we have to make good decisions, to grow, to heal, and most importantly, to be there for the people we love. When we're not mindful, we live our lives lost on autopilot, lost in thoughts, and we miss out on living life fully. So once we're aware of what's happening around us, we need to look at what's happening inside of our heads. So I have to, in addition to looking and seeing what's going on around us, look at and say, what's going on inside my head? What am I doing? Am I accepting what's going on around us? Am I judging? And when I'm judging others, it's probably because I also judge myself for that same thing. So looking at, am I doing judging? Am I liking? Am I disliking? Am I just ignoring? What's going on in my head? Because what I want to do is I want to notice before I get too stirred up. And it's not just the negative emotions that can get us too stirred up, it's the positive ones too. Just watch two 5-year-olds playing, and they're laughing and they're having a great time and they're getting a little more wild and a little more wild and a little more stirred up until all of a sudden one is in tears or somebody's hurt or whatever. So even with positive emotions, we can get stirred up. And we can start grasping onto them if we're not aware of it. We want to enjoy the moment. We want to savor it, but we don't want to hold on to it with our fist. And with the negative emotions, we don't want to let that story keep playing over and over in our mind so that we get on that roller coaster and the emotions just get stronger and stronger and stronger until we're going to do something or say something that's just going to make life worse, not better. So we want to make sure we're aware of it. One example of that, which probably happened to most of you, was trying to figure out how to get the family together safely during COVID. And in our family, I have an immune-compromised 3-year-old grandson. And I also have a stepson who really doesn't think COVID is a problem. And so trying to navigate through all of that can be very difficult. But we finally came up with something and we met outside and we had a great time. But I noticed that it still left me feeling very down, you know, no matter what. I was seeing things that were wrong all over the place. I just had a very negative feeling tone. And during one of my meditations, I realized that I was letting all that anxiety that I had had about, is this going to work and how can we keep everybody happy, really weighing on me in a way that wasn't helpful to me and wasn't helpful to anyone else. So then I started beating myself up for being so negative. But then I finally realized that, you know what? Our brains are wired to scan for danger and to look for the negative. It's not that I'm a bad person. It's just that's how our minds have been trained. And what I need to do is train it to do something a little bit different. Because our minds are still trained to be Velcro for the negative and Teflon for the good. So I remembered all the negative aspects, but I really wasn't focused on the good things that happened. Seeing the kids together, getting to see everyone, talking with everyone. When we're holding on to the negative, we color everything in our world with darkness. It's like when life is good, you've got these rose-colored glasses on and everything looks good. Well, when something is negative and you're holding on to it and really grasping it, It's like you're putting these dark color glasses on and everything looks like a problem. So I'm not saying we should brush anything negative under the carpet. I've done that long enough that I know that doesn't work because the problem is just likely to grow. But it does mean that we can train our minds to pay attention in the moment with kindness and with curiosity. You might not like that someone cut you off in traffic, but instead of getting angry and retaliating, you could just get curious. Why did they cut me off? Maybe they're rushing to the hospital to see a relative who's dying. Maybe, you know, they're late for a job interview. Maybe, you know, could be all sorts of things that we just don't ever stop to think. Instead, we think they cut me off. They're out to get me, as if we're the center of the universe. And so you can just stop and get curious and realize that maybe they cut you off because they really are a jerk, but happy people aren't jerks. So you could get curious about what's making them so unhappy that they have to be such a jerk. You know, often it has nothing to do with you. It's all about them. And if we don't take it so personally, it's not going to impact the rest of our day. When we take it personally and, oh, they cut me off, that idiot, why did he do that to me? We take on that negative feeling tone and we carry it through our day with these dark colored glasses we put on. So think about what your life might be like if you quit wishing reality was different and you got curious about what's really going on. When you don't like what's going on, don't run that movie over and over in your head. Just accept that life isn't fair and let it go. Because mindfulness is about training our brain to respond wisely rather than acting blindly. And that's why we do meditation. We need to train our brains. We need to develop those neural pathways that help us to become aware of when we're thinking and help us to switch the focus of our attention. We have to build those muscles. And meditation is one method through which we can train our brains to be aware and concentrated. When we meditate, what we're trying to do is find the mindful middle where we neither suppress our thoughts nor are we completely lost in them. The key thing is we're not trying to stop our thoughts because that's impossible. Minds just secrete thoughts. The goal is to become aware that we're thinking. The more you practice paying attention to the present moment when you're calm and happy, the easier it's going to be and the more effective it's going to be when you're freaking out. So the whole purpose of meditation is not to be a good meditator that I can sit still for 20 minutes or 45 minutes. It's to train our brain to be more mindful. No matter how long you meditate, you'll never be mindful 100% of the time. Thoughts will come up. And the more you meditate, the faster you'll realize those thoughts have come up. That's where beginning again comes in. I realize, oh, I'm lost in thought, or I've just started thinking, and I can begin again. And the more you meditate, the more likely you are to realize you're thinking before you've been lost in thought for 2, 3, 5, 10 minutes, which happens a lot. So every time my mind spins out a story, I start recognizing that I'm thinking, not always right away, but sometimes, you know, sometimes right away, sometimes within a few minutes. And then I can make the decision, do I want to observe that thought? Because that's fine to do in meditation. As long as I step back and I'm watching it like a boat going down the river, I'm not jumping on it. Do I want to just be lost in that thought? Maybe it's a pleasant thought and I do want to spend some time there because it just feels good. Or do I want to direct my attention back to my anchor? No matter how spacey, how forgetful I am, I always have the opportunity to begin again. So that's why anchors are so important in meditation, because it's a place to direct our attention so that rather than trying to push the thought away, we can just change the focus of our attention. Every time our mind wanders, we're going to change the focus of our attention. We're not going to push the thought away because that's a losing battle. When we resist a negative thought, it persists. We may say to the thought, not now, and gently turn our focus back to the meditation, but maybe that thought is going to keep popping up. But just keep in mind when you're working with thoughts during meditation, one of my teachers, Thich Nhat Hanh, says, you know those nights when sleep eludes you and the harder you try to sleep, the less you can? You're trying to force yourself to be peaceful and you feel the resistance inside of you. The same sort of resistance is felt by many people during their first experiences with meditation. The more they try to calm themselves, the more restless they become. So we don't want our meditation to become a struggle because we have enough struggles in our life. We want to be calm. And instead of trying to quiet your thoughts, we want to observe them. Maybe hold your thought like you'd hold a crying baby and say, why is it that you're so upset, this thought? Label it. I'm thinking. It's positive. It's negative. It's the past. It's the future. And then bring your attention back to the sensation of your breath or whatever anchor works for you. Breath doesn't work for everyone. So, but remember that creating a neural pathway takes a lot of repetition. And you've had a lot of years of creating neural pathways to let these thoughts run over and over. So we need time and practice. Just like you might start with a yoga pose that feels very uncomfortable, but you practice it and it becomes natural. The same thing happens with meditation. We continually bring our anchor back, and then our mind does begin to settle, and we can see more clearly. We can see what's going on. We see our joys much more clearly, which is wonderful. But on the other side, we also see our sorrows more clearly. But by seeing our sorrows more clearly, instead of brushing them under the carpet, we can make more skillful decisions about what actions we're going to take. We can stop covering up our sorrows with busyness and distractions. Some people blame meditation for making them anxious, but really it's just meditation allows them to see their anxiety. It puts you in touch with what's making you anxious. So while we might start the practice because we want to feel more peaceful, we don't want to quit when we don't feel peaceful because we need to get to learn to be with discomfort. The more we have, the more skillful we'll be, and the less likely it is that we're going to be doing something reactive that's going to make things more difficult in our life. So Breath Foundation is a great foundation for mindfulness. But as we've seen, body scan, loving kindness, eating meditation, walking meditation are just as good as breath meditation. So it really depends on which one is going to be most likely for you to do most frequently. And we want our mindfulness to help us make wise choices. So we need to be aware of those stressful thoughts that we have running around in our head. We need to let all that mental chatter settle a little bit so that we don't get confused and react, but instead we respond skillfully. The more we practice mindfulness, the more likely we are to become aware of our reactive tendencies so we can catch ourselves and we can take a conscious breath and we can choose a more skillful way to respond. So mindfulness lets us be aware of all the joy in our life and all the sadness. But we can learn to place our attention where we want it. We don't have to have it focused on the negative. With mindfulness, we can truly taste the cheese, the guacamole, the cookie, the warm bread. We can learn to walk unhurriedly and feel the breeze on our skin, hear the sounds of the birds, look at the beautiful sky. The more we meditate or do our mindfulness practices, the more likely we are to see all those positive benefits in our lives.